The sermon this morning is based on that gospel reading from Luke chapter 21. I'll refer to a number of the verses there, but to start, I'll read two of them. Verse 28, "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And also verse 33, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The little half page of sermon notes is on that blue insert if you'd like to follow along. Luke presents this teaching of Jesus in a very organized way. And it's helpful for us to hear from Luke what is immediately before these verses we just read, verses 5 through 24 of Luke 21. Now the context is Jesus is in the temple and he's teaching during Holy Week. This is the week that Jesus would be betrayed and die on the cross and rise on that Sunday. But before that all happened, he was teaching in the temple. And one of the things that we have him teaching, and it's recorded in all four Gospels, various aspects of his teaching, is his teaching of the end times, when he will come again, when there's judgment. But he gives two different periods of judgment. And Luke is very clear what he is talking about each time. Luke first records that Jesus taught about the judgment on Jerusalem. And it's really for these disciples, his current disciples, and that very first generation of Christians. Because he prepares those disciples and those very first ones about the destruction of Jerusalem. And he didn't want them to be surprised about the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus is teaching about 33 AD, and the destruction of Jerusalem was 70 AD. So just 35 years or so, this would happen. And all of this magnificent temple that he was teaching in, and so many people would come to the Passover and the other festivals. All this that the disciples, right then and there, that they were looking at it and he was teaching there in 35 years or 37 years thereabouts, it would be gone, destroyed. And he was preparing them to know that Jerusalem would be destroyed and this was God's judgment. And then Jesus also teaches for future times in the verses that we read today. First, the destruction of Jerusalem and what he said about that. And then Luke records what Jesus said for a future time. Those words for today. And we can really look at this because the end time has not come yet. And every generation of Christians has been hearing these words from Luke and the other Gospels and saying, is it near? Is it come yet? Is it here yet? It's good for us to hear these words of his second coming. And I just have a few points there, pulled out a few points. There's more there, more points there as well. But this time that Jesus talks about, he says it will be a time of great distress. It will be a time of great distress. And very specifically, he says there's going to be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And he talks about the oceans there. He talks about the waves in the water. There's going to be signs there. And he talks about that people, the whole world, will have a fainting with fear. And in our ESV translation, it says a foreboding. And that's a good translation, but there's also the idea there's this expectations. The whole world is looking at all these things going on in the sun and the moon and the stars and in the oceans. These different signs that are happening, and there's going to be expectations, a foreboding, expectations of what is going to come. Jesus says, after these, then he will come with in a cloud, with power and great glory. Just to pause there on what he says. He is going to come with power and great glory. That is different in his second coming than his first coming. In his first coming as a baby from the Virgin Mary, by the miraculous conception that she had by the power of the Holy Spirit to bear Jesus, that was quiet and lowly. And we know who had the great announcement. It was the shepherds, right? And it wasn't everybody, but certain people had certain messages from the angels, and the wise men had certain clues from the star and probably from the scriptures. So it wasn't the whole world would know about Jesus, but it was quiet and lowly. And then as he grew up and had his ministry, he chose disciples to follow and chose disciples and apostles to spread the message in a quiet, gentle way. That's his first coming. But this, his second coming, is going to be public and in great glory. And he says, great power. And he tells the disciples during that Holy Week, the week before the week that he died, when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, raise your heads. And I put, and lifted heads. You lift your heads. Christians, when Jesus comes again, this is going to be a wonderful thing. We will lift our heads. Because we'll say, I saw the signs and I thought it was happening and my fellow Christians thought it was happening and it's happened and Jesus is here. It's going to be a wonderful time that we do not fear. We do not fear. Jesus says there, because your redemption, your redeeming, your salvation is drawing near. If these times are now, or soon, and we are alive during these times, this is not a time for us to be afraid, but to know that Jesus is coming soon, to tell people about him. Whatever difficulty the world is going through, we don't fear it, because Jesus is in charge, and he's coming again, and our redemption is soon. I jumped to a couple verses there, the next last point of part two in the little outline. From verse 33, Jesus' word has more power to teach and comfort than heaven and earth. And I have in the italics there in the notes, stay in and pass on his word. What do I mean by that? Jesus says all these things are happening. And he says, heaven and earth may pass, but my word will not pass away. Do we Christians understand the comfort that he's giving us in that? He's saying there's these great signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and great signs in the waves and the wind and everything going on, and the whole world is going to be worried about it. Everybody, Christians and non-Christians alike. It's going to be very noticeable what's going on. And we, Christians, will know and believe our redemption is drawing nigh. Is he almost here? Because of all these things going on. And then he says, heaven and earth can pass away, but my word will not pass away. Do you see what he's saying, us telling us to trust in? He's telling us to trust in his word. Because the heavens and the earth as they are now will pass away. But his word will not. So what do we cling to? We cling to his word. Not the heavens and earth that will pass away. That's not our final comfort. Our final comfort is the Word of God, which cannot pass away. They're stronger than the heavens and the earth. As these things may happen more and more, and the whole world gets more and more distressed, what then shall Christians do? We stay in the Word of God because that is eternal, whereas the heavens and earth are not. And we keep meeting together as much as we can. And we keep celebrating Christmas with the Word of God. It's not like our decorations are eternal. They're not. God's going to have even better ones. But all our celebrations and liturgy, etc., and carols point us to the Word of God, which is our foundation, which goes past heaven and earth. And so we continue to gather for God's Word because that will get us through whatever comes our way. And our decorations help focus our minds on the Christmas nativity, the Christmas story of Jesus' birth. The carols celebrate and focus our minds on that Word of God and the other parts of the seasons of the church year, Lent and Holy Week and all those things we celebrate. They focus our minds on what will stand no matter what we go through in this life, because Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass, but my word will not pass away. So our energies and our activities focus on that Word of God in which we can stand no matter what is going on. So our celebrations and our preparations, when they point us and keep us in the Word and bring forwards and centralize the Word of God, that is a wonderful, good thing. And it's interesting, too, because as I put that little title at the top, are we preparing for Jesus? Or is Jesus preparing us? In our celebrations, we prepare, we decorated our church and our homes and our communities. But in all this, Jesus is preparing us to stay in his word, to be ready for him. This is a certainty that Jesus comforts us with, that these things are going to happen and we should recognize it and know it and his word will stand. Jesus gave this example, this little parable. You see the fig tree and all other trees, he says, when you see the leaves coming, you know that summer is here. You just know that. That is the way God has ordained things, and that's the way it happens. Some springs you get a lot of rain. Some springs come later, sooner. But when it's summer, those trees have the leaves. So also these signs. He says, when you see these signs, you know the summer. So also when you see these signs of his coming, it's true, it's certain. Just know it's absolutely true. And he warns then in verse 34, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. It was about a half year ago, or maybe a year ago, that word dissipation came up. And I thought, what does that word mean? Maybe you remember that sermon. The word means actually a hangover. Don't be hungover. Don't be in drunkenness. Don't be in the cares of the world. Maybe you don't do that, but you're so involved in the cares of the world that Jesus says, watch out lest the hangovers and the drunkenness or the cares of the world so take up your attention that your attention is not on the Word of God, which is eternal. Have your mind and heart on the eternal things. Not these things that the world does for a time. Because those things can take your mind off the Word of God. So he says, stay awake. and pray, that you may be ready and that you may stand. Think also on this, the prayers that we have in church, and maybe in your private lives, in your families. These prayers are part of keeping us, our attention on God's word and his promises. And we bring things to God, our prayer list, that are we publish, or maybe other prayers that we're thinking about. We bring these to the eternal God. These are the problems that we're having now. We need your attention, God. This person needs healing. This person needs comforting. Whatever it may be, we bring these to God, our eternal God. Because we are going through things. And we bring these to God, but he's in charge. His word is in charge. And our attention is on God and his word and on Christ. I'm paying attention, God, and please take care of these people. We all want to be ready. We want to be ready. In our culture, we like to at least have a few lights up at Christmas time. Some do a lot, some do a little. Depends on how much time you have. But we like to be prepared. And if our culture knows that, then how much more do we as Christians say, Lord, prepare me. Let me be ready. Let me see what's going on. Let me stay in your word. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you taught your disciples to be ready for the fall of Jerusalem, and you teach your disciples, including us, to be ready for your second coming. Prepare our hearts for this Christmas, but also prepare our hearts for your second coming. Help us to pray for those who need preparation, who aren't prepared. Help us to bring all these needs to you. Dear Lord Jesus, come to our hearts and our lives, continually to prepare us. In your name we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.